What on earth is that? That's not worship. That's not how you praise Yahshua. You praise Yahshua with every fiber of your body. The Yahshuan Radio Network is giving you the best sermons on the internet, the best teachers on the internet, and we are breaking some stained glass windows.
You are listening to Havara with Shoshana. Havara, C-H-A-V-U-R-A-H, is a Hebrew term commonly used to describe scripture study among believers. Havara is produced under the direction of Shaul Dov's Messianic Jewish Moment, and our website is www.foryahweh.org. That's numeral 4, Y-A-H-W-E-H. New episodes air each Tuesday evening at 8 p.m. and can also be heard streaming live at yrn.spruce.com, the Yahshuan Radio Network. Please come join us. The title of this message has its root from Ezekiel 34, and we'll read it together. Please take a moment to get your translation of scriptures. I hope you have the King James Version so you can see the difference of thought presented. And I'm going to be reading myself from the Complete Jewish Bible, translated by David Stern. I pause for you to scramble to go get your scriptures. Okay, do you have it? Here we go. Ezekiel 34:23. I will raise up one shepherd to be in charge of them, and he will let them feed, my servant David. He will pasture them and be their shepherd. I, Yehovah, will be their God, and my servant David will be prince among them. I, Yehovah, have spoken. I will make a covenant of peace with them. I will rid the land of wild animals, and they will live securely in the desert and sleep in the forest. I will make them and the places around my hill a blessing, and I will cause the rain to fall when it should. There will be showers of blessing. The trees in the field will bear their fruit, and the soil its produce, and they will be secure in their land. Then they will know that I am Yehovah, when I break the bars of their yoke and rescue them from the power of those who turn them into slaves. No longer will they be prey for the Goyim, nor will the wild animals devour them, but they will live securely, with no one to make them afraid. I will make the productivity of their crops famous, and they will no longer be consumed by hunger in the land or bear the shame of the Goyim any more. They will know that I, Yehovah, their God, am with them, and that they, the house of Israel, are my people, says Yehovah Elohim. You, my sheep, the sheep in my pasture, are human beings, and I am your God, says Yehovah Elohim. Who takes this scripture in context? What I hear is Yeshua, our shepherd, will take over. Jeremiah 23:3. I myself will gather what remains of my flock from all the countries where I have driven them and bring them back to their homes, and they will be fruitful and increase in their numbers. I will appoint shepherds over them who will shepherd them. Then they will no longer be afraid or disgraced, and none will be missing, says Yehovah. None will be missing is referenced again in John 17:12. Israel will be saved from slavery. They will once again be united with their living God, and they will no longer be cursed because of the idolatry they succumbed to and were trapped with for centuries. They can once again, because of Yeshua, be bound to the wedding vows that they were given, most notably at Sinai, but many times elsewhere, where they said, "All that the Lord has said, we will do." Exodus 19:7. Moshe came, summoned the leaders of the people, and presented them with all these words which Yehovah had ordered him to say. All the people answered as one, "Everything Yehovah has said, we will do." Moshe reported the words of the people to Yehovah. Moshe reported the words of the people to Yehovah. What does that mean to you? In any case, this sounds like wedding vows to me. "I do" resounds through wedding halls worldwide, yet this is what we hear?
"It shall be showers of blessing, this is the promise of God. There shall be seasons refreshing, sent from the blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we need.
How many times have we sung this song in our respective congregations? No matter what the group calls themselves, Seventh-day Adventist, Methodist, Evangelical, Catholic, maybe even Jehovah's Witnesses, I don't know. Never been personally acquainted with one of that particular sect. But we humans, from every walk of life, crave those blessings from above. We pray, we sing, we cry, we ask, and then we get. We do! Because, by our very existence, and the air we breathe, and the food we eat, and the clothes we wear, and the jobs we have, are all blessings from above. But, does anyone know exactly what those blessings require? Yes, I said require. Scripture gives specific examples and stories of what those blessings are for, and we're going to explore what Tanakh shows us about those blessings and why they show up in the first place. I'm going to start with the scripture that made this concept glaringly obvious to me. Then we'll see other examples that follow through with that thought, but aren't so visibly evident unless you find yourself looking for it. Then it's plain to see. Exodus 16:1. They traveled on from El Halim. The whole community of the people of Israel arrived at the Sin Desert between El Halim and Sinai on the 15th day of the second month after leaving the land of Egypt. There, in the desert, the whole community of the people of Israel grumbled against Moshe and Aharon. The people of Israel said to them, "We wish Yehovah had used his own hand to kill us off in Egypt. There, we used to sit around the pots with the boiling meat, and we had as much food as we wanted. But you have taken us out into this desert to let this whole assembly starve to death." Yehovah said to Moshe, "Here, I will cause bread to rain down from heaven for you. The people are to go out and gather a day's ration every day. By this, I will test whether they will observe my Torah or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they have brought in, it will turn out to be twice as much as they gather on the other days." I have noticed in my Torah walk that it appeared I was pre-blessed. I thought the concept to be rather odd at the time. Here I was. I had stumbled, fell, and was far from blameless from Yehovah's perspective. So I crawled back to his feet and confessed my weaknesses, my shortcomings, and acknowledged in his presence that I knew what he thought of my actions. Then, for what appeared to be no reason, I would be blessed beyond measure. In my short-sighted thinking at the time, I honestly thought it was due to Teshuvah. And pride crept in, and I secretly smiled at myself. Oops, wrong answer. I don't remember what I was looking for at the time, but I saw the showers of blessing that fell on Israel in the form of manna, and for the first time, verse 4 of Exodus 16 literally jumped off the page. "By this I will test Israel to see," it said. Ouch! Do you mean, Yehovah, that when I get blessings, you expect something from me? My heart trembled at the thought. So I scoured scripture, and sure enough, time and time again, that concept shows up in the history books of Israel, from Moshe to David and beyond. Exodus 20:18. All the people experienced the thunder, the lightning, the sound of the shofar, and the mountains smoking. When the people saw it, they trembled. Standing at a distance, they said to Moshe, "You speak with us, and we will listen. But don't let God speak with us, or we will die." Moshe answered the people, "Don't be afraid, because God has only come to test you and make you fear him, so that you won't commit sins." So the people stood at a distance, but Moshe approached the thick darkness where God was. What is the definition of sin? 1 John 3:4. Everyone who keeps sinning is violating Torah. Indeed, sin is violation of Torah. So now we come to the heart of this message, starting at the beginning. I have to do that, because that's where it always takes root. Genesis 5:1. Here is the genealogy of Adam. On the day that God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. He created them male and female. He blessed them and called them Adam, or humankind, or man, on the day they were created. Genesis 2:16. Yehovah, God, gave the person this order. You may freely eat from every tree in the garden, except the tree of knowledge of good and evil. You are not to eat from it, because on the day that you eat from it, it will become certain that you will die. From the beginning, blessing, then testing, has been the pattern. Adam and Eve both blessed on the day they were created and tested with the tree. Genesis 12:1. Now Yehovah said to Avram, get yourself out of your country, away from your kinsmen, and away from your father's house, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you are to be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, but I will curse anyone who curses you, and by you all the families of the earth will be blessed. So Avram went, as Yehovah had said to him, and Lot went with him. Avram was 75 years old, take note of that age, when he left Haran. Avram took his wife Sarai, his brother's son Lot, and all their possessions which they had accumulated, as well as the people they had acquired, foreigners, in Haran. Then they set out for the land of Canaan and entered the land of Canaan. Avram's blessed, but uh-oh, here comes the test. Genesis 22:1. After these things, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham! And Abraham answered, here I am. He said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Yitzhak, and go to the land of Moriah. There you are to offer him as a burnt offering on a mountain that I will point out to you. Abraham got up early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, together with Yitzhak, his son. He cut the wood for the burnt offering, departed, and went toward the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham raised his eyes and saw the place in the distance. Ooh, on the third day? More prophecy. Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey, and I and the boy will go there, worship and return to you. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and laid it on Yitzhak his son. Then he took in his hand the fire and the knife, and they both went on together. Yitzhak spoke to Abraham, his father. My father, he answered. Here I am, my son, he said. I see the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham replied, God will provide himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. And they both went on together. They came to the place God had told him about, and Abraham built the altar there, set the wood in order, bound Yitzhak, his son, and laid him on the altar on the wood. Then Abraham put out his hand and took the knife to kill his son. But the angel of Yehovah called out to him from heaven and said, Abraham! Abraham! He answered, here I am. He said, don't lay your hand on the boy. Don't do anything to him. For now I know that you are a man who fears God, because you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. I've always wondered how only son fit in, and here's the answer, just in case that's ever crossed your mind. Genesis 21:12. But God said to Abraham, don't be distressed because of the boy and your slave girl. Listen to everything Sarai says to you, because it is your descendants through Yitzhak who will be counted. Is it any wonder that Abraham was considered the friend of God? Abraham did exactly as Yehovah did in sacrificing Yeshua at the stake. Abraham did not withhold his only son, the one whom he loved, from Yehovah. But again, the blessing first and the test to follow. Abraham passed the test, an excruciating test indeed. Now we'll look at Esau. God hated him. It says so in Scripture. Esau is also referred to as Edom in Scripture. Malachi 1:1. A prophecy. The word of Yehovah to Israel through Malachi. I love you, says Yehovah, but you ask, how do you show us your love? Yehovah answers, Esau was Yaakov's brother, yet I loved Yaakov, but hated Esau. I made his mountains desolate and gave his territory to desert jackals. Edom says, we are beaten down now, but we will come back and rebuild the ruins. Yehovah Sabaoth answers, they can build, but I will demolish. They will be called the land of wickedness, the people with whom Yehovah is permanently angry. You will see it and say, Yehovah is great, even beyond the borders of Israel. This concept is expounded on in Romans 9:6. But the present condition of Israel does not mean that the word of God has failed, for not everyone from Israel is truly a part of Israel. Indeed, not all the descendants are seed of Abraham either. What is to be called your seed will be in Yitzhak. In other words, it's not the physical children who are children of God, but the children the promise refers to who are considered seed. For this is what the promise said, at the time set I will come, and Sarah will have a son. And even more to the point is the case of Rivka, for both her children were conceived in a single act with Yitzhak, our father, and before they were born, before they'd done anything at all, either good or bad, so that Yehovah's plan might remain a matter of his sovereign choice, not dependent on what they did, but on God who does the calling. It was said to her, the older will serve the younger. Verse 13 of Romans 9. This accords with where it is written, Yaakov I loved, but Esau I hated. Esau was technically blessed. He was the firstborn. Let's apply the blessing test criteria to him and see what happened. Genesis 27:38. Esau said to his father, have you only one blessing, my father? Father, bless me too! Esau wept aloud, and Yitzhak, his father, answered him, here, your home will be of the richness of the earth and of the dew of heaven above. You will live by your sword, and you will serve your brother. But when you break loose, you will shake his yoke off your neck. Esau hated his brother because of the blessing his father had given him. Esau said to himself, the time for mourning my father will come soon, and then I will kill my brother Yaakov. Genesis 28:6. Now Esau saw, that Yitzhak had blessed Yaakov and sent him away to Paddan Aram to choose a wife from there, and that as he blessed him, he charged him, blessing test, you are not to choose a Canaan woman as your wife. And that Yaakov had listened to his father and mother and gone to Paddan Aram. Esau also saw that the Kenai women did not please Yitzhak his father. So Esau went to Ishmael and took, in addition to the wives he already had, Machalot, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Nebaioth, to be his wife. Esau saw, quote-unquote, or understood, the Canaanite women did not please Isaac his father. Yet we find in Genesis 36 he did exactly the opposite of what he knew he was not to do. Genesis 36:1. These are the descendants of Esau, or Edom. Esau took his wives from the Canaanites. Verse 2. Ada, the daughter of Elon the Hittite, Oholibama, the daughter of Anah, the son of Zibeon the Hivite, and Basemath, Ishmael's daughter, the sister of Nebaioth. And Adah bore to Esau Eliphaz. Basemath bore Reuel, and Oholibamah bore Yeush, Yalam, and Korah. These are the sons of Esau who were born to him in the land of Canaan. Then Esau took his wives, his sons, his daughters, and all the members of his household, his cattle, all his beasts, and all his property which he had acquired in the land of Canaan, and went into a land away from his brother Jacob, for their possessions were too great for them to dwell together. The land of their sojournings could not support them because of their cattle. So Esau dwelt in the country of Seir. Esau is Edom. Now this particular section came from the Revised Standard Version, Genesis 36:1 through 8, just for ease of name pronunciations. So blessing doesn't exactly mean what everyone would think. The word blessing could actually be replaced in context with the word test, And perhaps we could get a better image of what Yehovah is doing when we see things going our way. He gives reward first, then test later. Seems backwards to our way of thinking, but doesn't that stand to reason anyway? Since when does Yehovah ever think the way we do? Isaiah 55 words it perfectly. Seek Yehovah while he is available. Call on him while he is still nearby. Verse 7. Let the wicked person abandon his way and the evil person his thoughts. Let him return to Yehovah and he will have mercy on him. Let him return to our God, for he will freely forgive. Verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts and your ways are not my ways, says Yehovah. As high as the sky is above the earth are my ways higher than yours and my thoughts than your thoughts. Here's another blessing and the test to follow. Exodus 23:20. I am sending an angel ahead of you to guard you on the way and bring you to the place I have prepared. Pay attention to him. We've got to heed these words. Remember, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Yeah, that's where this comes from. Listen to what he says and do not rebel against him because he will not forgive any wrongdoing of yours since my name resides in him. But if you listen to what he says and do everything I tell you, then I will be an enemy to your foes and a foe to your foes. When my angel goes ahead of you and brings you to the Emori, the Hittai, the Prezi, the Kenai, the Hivi, and the Yebusi, I will make an end of them. You are not to worship their gods, serve them, or follow their practices. Rather, you are to demolish them completely and smash their standing stones to pieces. You are to serve Yehovah your God. He will bless your food and water. I will take sickness away from you. In your land, your women will not miscarry or be barren, and you will live out the full span of your lives. I will send terror of me ahead of you, throwing into confusion all the people to whom you come. And I will make all your enemies turn their backs on you. I will send hornets ahead of you to drive out the Hivi, the Kenai, the Hittai before you. I will not drive them out from before you in 1 year, which would cause the land to become desolate and the wild animals too many for you. I will drive them out from before you gradually until you have grown in number and can take possession of the land. I will set your boundaries from the Sea of Suf to the Sea of the Philistine, and from the desert to the Euphrates River, for I will hand the inhabitants of the land over to you, and you will drive them out from before you. You are not to make a covenant with them or their gods. They are not to live in your land. Otherwise, they will make you sin against me by ensnaring you to serve their gods. These blessings seem to be pretty self-explanatory, but as with any blessing, here comes the test. Judges 2:16. But then Yehovah raised up judges who rescued them from the powers of those who were plundering them. Yet they did not pay attention to their judges, but made whores of themselves to other gods and worshipped them. They quickly turned away from the path on which their ancestors had walked, the way of obeying Yehovah's mitzvot. They failed to do this. When Yehovah raised up judges for them, Yehovah was with the judge and delivered them from the hands of their enemies throughout the lifetime of the judge, for Yehovah was moved to pity by their groaning under those oppressing and crushing them. But after the judge died, they would relapse into worse behavior than that of their ancestors, following other gods to serve and worship them. They abandoned none of their practices or stubborn ways, so the anger of Yehovah blazed against Israel, and he said, because this nation violates my covenant for which I ordered their fathers to obey, and they don't pay attention to what I say, in the future I will not expel ahead of them any of the nations that Yehoshua left when he died. This is how I will test Israel to see whether or not they will keep the way of Yehovah, living according to it as their ancestors did. So Yehovah allowed those nations to remain where they were without quickly driving them out, and he did not hand them over to Yehoshua. And expounding further on the test, Judges 3:1. These are the nations which Yehovah allowed to remain, in order to put to the test all the people of Israel who had not known any of the wars with Canaan. This was only so the generations of Israel who had previously known nothing of war might learn about it. These nations consisted of the five chiefs of the Philistines, all the Kenai, the Sidonai, and the Hivai, who lived in the hills of Lebanon between Mount Baal Hermon and the entrance of the Hamath. They stayed there to test whether Israel would pay attention to the mitzvot of Yehovah, which through Moshe he had ordered their ancestors to obey. So the people of Israel lived among the Kenai, the Hittai, the Amorai, the Perizzi, the Hivai, and the Yebusi, taking their daughters as wives. Didn't we just discuss this about Esau? Anyway, giving their own daughters to their sons and serving their gods. Thus, the people of Israel did what was evil from Yehovah's perspective and forgot Yehovah their God and served the Baalim and the Asherim. I find verse 2 of Judges 3 to be interesting because if Israel had done as the Torah commanded, there would be none of the generations that hadn't seen or heard of Yehovah's works, and this is why. Deuteronomy 17:19 explains this on a small scale. It, or Torah, is to remain with him, and he is to read in it every day as long as he lives, so that he will learn to fear Yehovah his God and keep all the words of this Torah and these laws and obey them. However, there were provisions made so that everyone, foreigner and Israelite alike, would not forget the Torah of Moshe. Deuteronomy 31:9. Then Moshe wrote down this Torah and gave it to the Kohanim, the descendants of Levi who carried the ark with the covenant of Yehovah, and to all the leaders of Israel. Moshe gave them these orders. At the end of every 7 years, during the festival of Sukkot, in the year of Shemitah, when all Israel have come before it to appear in the presence of Yehovah at the place he will choose, you are to read this Torah before all Israel so they can hear it. Assemble the people, the men, the women, the little ones, the foreigners you have in your town so that they can hear, learn, and fear Yehovah your God and take care to obey all the words of this Torah. And so that their children who have not known can hear and learn to fear Yehovah your God for as long as you live in the land you are crossing in the Jordan to possess. The year of Shemitah defined is this. We'll read in Deuteronomy 15:1. At the end of every 7 years you are to have a Shemitah. Here is how the Shemitah is to be done. Every creditor is to give up what he has loaned to his fellow member of the community. He is not to force his neighbor or relative to repay it because Yehovah's time of remission has been proclaimed. You may demand that a foreigner repay his debt, but you are to release your claim on whatever your brother owes you. And for further clarification, as Christopher brought up on Jim's Out of Babylon podcast this week, since Jim has been on medication with a very bad knee and the sixth surgery, our brother, as defined in Matthew 12:50, is this: whoever does what my Father in heaven wants, that person is my brother and sister and mother. We must remember, the next time we ask for showers of blessing, exactly what we are asking for. Blessing? Or testing, because by definition they go hand in hand. Don't go asking for specific anything unless you're ready and willing to pay the price associated with it. That is, not a bribe, because we learned last week Yehovah has no use for those, but true sacrifice, commitment, and returning to the heart, will, and mind, and emotions, or Torah, of the living God, the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, our God, who freely takes us under his wing as a hen covers her chicks. But the words of Yeshua should always echo in our minds. If you love me, keep my commandments. Ivareka Yehovah v'yishmereka, Ye'er Yehovah panaf alecha v'kuneka, Yisa Yehovah panaf alecha v'yasem v'kashalom. May Yehovah bless you and keep you. May Yehovah make his face shine on you and show you his favor. May Yehovah lift his face toward you and give you peace. In this way, they are to put my name on the people of Israel so that I will bless them.
And the ark of your mind.
And the ark of your mind.